Schwartzman the younger.
Okay. In Torah ends with a lamed and begins the base. If you take the Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, you have in it three letters. There's a Yud, or three different types of letters. The Hei is Yud Kei and a Vav. The letters of a Yud, a Kei and a Vav, can all connect to a base, and they can all connect to a Lamed. For instance, you have the base. You can connect it with a Yud, is B, with a Hei, Bo, with a Vav, Boy. So the letter base can connect with all the letters of the Shem Hashem. The letter Lamed can connect with all the letters of the Shem Hashem. Li, Loi, Lo. There's no other letter in the Aleph base which can connect with all the letters of the Shem Hashem. You try a Mem. So you can make two words, Mi and Mo. There's no word Moi. An Aleph connects E and Oi, but there's no word O. So any it cannot connect. But there's two letters. Declaration of Chadu, Torah and the Bunch is one. Torah, the beginning and end, connects with the Bunch. And of course, the Torah and the Bunch, we want to connect. That in life, there are ups and downs. There are times things go well, and there's times seemingly things are not going so well. But everything has a purpose. The Ribbono Shel Olam is emes, and everything goes with what is happening, what should be happening. And one day, sometimes we're zoich in this world to see the emes and why things happened. Sometimes things work out. Later on, you understand why things weren't going well, and you benefited from it. You know, that everybody knows stories of people who were supposed to catch a plane, and they were upset, they missed it, and then the plane crashed. Those are obviously simple stories where a person sees that what he thought was bad was good. But many times in life, we get the opportunity to see what we thought was a tzara was really a bracha for us. And there's other times when we're not zeicher to see it, but after 120, everybody will see it. Everywhere in life, why everything happened to you, and you'll be thankful that it happened to you. If these things didn't happen to you, what you thought was a tzara was really for your benefit. Torah begins. The Torah, the life of every person is written in the Torah. It begins with Baruch. Bereishis Bara Dekim, the Soifis, the last letters of Bara Dekim is Emes. Bereishis is a Sof, Bara an Aleph, Alekim is a Mem. But the Emes is out of order. You can't see the Emes right away at the beginning. It looks like it's bad. You don't see the truth in it. But you see the end of the parasha. The end of the parasha, the creation of the world, is Vayechulu Hashemayim Roiz V'chol Zvon. What are the last three words? I know. Bara Elikim Lases. What are the letters of Bara Elikim Lases? Last three letters. Bara Aleph, Elikim Mem, Lases Sof. The Emes now is in order. At the beginning of the story, you can't always see the Emes. But by the end, a person will be able to see the Emes. There's a famous. Well, let's start with the Kasha. Kayan brings a carbon, and when he brings a carbon, he didn't have a Masechta Zvachim, Amenachas, he didn't have the parishes and the Torah, he didn't have a Ramban and Rambam who argue what Pshat and Karbonis. On his own, he was Mechadish, the whole concept Karbonis. It's a tremendous Madrega, this way please, this way. It's a tremendous Madrega to be able to Mechadish the concept Karbonis. His brother Hevel sees him, and he says, Kain, yo man, what's happening? So he says, I'm bringing a carbon. A carbon? What's that? So he explains to him the whole concept of carbonus. Wow, cool, let me try that. And Hevel brings the carbon. Cain's carbon is accepted. Hevel's carbon is accepted. Cain's isn't. That's quite a blow. You thought of the whole concept, and Hevel's is accepted and Cain's isn't. That can be very upsetting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Cain, Loma nafla panecho? Why are you so upset? What's the question? Of course he's upset. It's perfectly reasonable that when you discovered this whole concept and you taught it to your brother and then his gets accepted and yours doesn't, it's understandable you get upset. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's question to it? So the Bali Chaim Shmuz talks about the concept of milk. My dahava hava, what's done is done. Move on. It wasn't accepted. No use crying over it. It's not going to help you. But once on Moriyah Kapshat. In life, very often it's very hard to forgive somebody else. There's no exact translation for the Yiddish word to forgive. People cannot take when somebody's more successful than them. It's not just regular jealousy, it's more than that. And, for instance, you'll get a guy who's happy, he got a 90 in a test, until he hears that somebody else got a 95. Then he's not happy. What do you mean? You were happy with a 90. What's wrong with it? You were happy before. But the fact that somebody else did better. There was once, imagine I would tell you that tomorrow you're going to get from the Ribbono Shel Olam a matana of $2,000, which you're not expecting. Out the blue, you're going to get $2,000. So you would say, terrific. So you're going to be happy? I'm going to be super happy. I'm not expecting it. Super happy. So I'll tell you a case, he got that, and he wasn't happy. He was much more upset than he never would have got it in the first place. You would think, how could that be? I'll tell you a circumstance. About 6-7 years ago, there was a multi-state, a Powerball lottery. It was $150 million. Two people won. Each one received $75 million. But they were sold in separate states. Each state had a different law. One state, the law was that the store that sells the winning ticket, $2,000. So he received $2,000. Very nice. He didn't even buy a lottery ticket, but he sold the winning ticket. That store, so he gets $2,000 out of the blue. A matana from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He didn't do anything for it. The other person who sold the ticket in the other state, they had a different rule in that state. There the rule was the store that sold the winning ticket gets 1% of the winnings, which is $750,000. So one who got $2,000 was very angry, cursing. He was screaming, ah, chutzpah, I did the same as he did. Same lottery, we both sold the ticket. Why does he get $750,000? I get $2,000. I heard him on the radio. He was really angry. I'm going to sue. Of course, there was nothing he could do. That was the rules. So he should have been happy. He got $2,000. The rules were, you don't get the $750,000. He was so brokenhearted about it. It ate him up. And probably for years afterwards, it bothered him. He should have had $750,000. This guy would have been a happier person without it. Why? He couldn't forgive. Somebody got more than him. That's how people are in life. So it was a mice and brisker of Beis Din. There was a din Torah between a butcher, who was a wealthy man, this poor person, and they ruled for the poor person. And the butcher got very angry about it. Ah, chutzpah, I'm really right. How could you let him win just because he's poor? That's why you're giving it to him. He was so angry about it. And he was cursing out the Beis Din. Somebody asked Reb Chaim Brisker afterwards. It doesn't make sense. This same Yid was here a few weeks ago, and he had a shayla with one of his cows. And you ruled it was treif. And that cow was worth a lot more than this din Torah over here. And then what did he say? If the Rav says that, I do what the Rav says. A kabbal cost me money. I'm an erech Yid. I want to do what's right. Doesn't bother me at all. And he accepted your psak. And over here he says he has a problem with the psak. What's the difference? He said it's very simple. Because in the other psak, when he lost the money, that was easy to accept. Over here, it didn't bother him that he lost the money. It's the other person won. The idea that the other person was getting his money, that bothered him. He felt it was his. It wasn't the money at all. It was the principle, the fact that somebody else was taking his money. And that's what he couldn't take. He couldn't forgive the other person. Over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Cain, Lo manaf lepanecho, why are you upset? There are two reasons you could be upset. You could be upset because your carbon wasn't accepted. That's fine. You're entitled to be upset that your carbon wasn't accepted. But the Ribbono Shel Olam was asking, is that why you're upset? Or is it no? You know why you're upset? Because his carbon was accepted. You don't care yours wasn't, but his was. That's what's bothering you. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's question was. Lomo nafla panecha. What is upsetting you? What's bothering you? Which one of the two is it? Is it yours wasn't or his was? Analyze which one it is. In the parasha, there's a pasuk that says, Vayikra Shmoy Enosh, he called his name Enosh, Oz Huchal Likrei B'Shem Hashem. Then they began to call the Shem Hashem. And Rashi says there, what does it mean they began to call Shem Hashem? It doesn't mean what it says. It means they began to call Avodah Zarah's B'Shem Hashem. Now that is very difficult to put that into the pasuk. The pasuk says they began to call Shem Hashem, And it doesn't mean Shem Hashem. It means they call that Avodah Zorah. So you have to put a little carrot on top and write Avodah Zorah B'Shem Hashem. It's very strange to learn that in that pshat in the Pasuk. The Sephona has a different pshat, slightly different pshat, which is very easy to understand the Pasuk then. And there was a Yid in England, Reb Tzvi Farber. If I would have told you who he was, you never would have connected him to anybody in your life, because how are you going to know this Lithuanian Rav who lived in England 60, 70 years ago? But it so happens his great-grandson learnt in this yeshiva last month. That was Gurewitz who learnt here. One great-grandfather of his was a Rashiv of Gezer. His other great-grandfather was this Rav Reb Tzvi Farber, who wrote many Sfarim. And in his Sefer, he writes, Pshat in the Pasuk, he says, when he came to London from Lithuania, and he was walking through the streets on his first day there, and he was wondering, what is this place, London? Is there Yiddishkeit here? And he sees a sign, a shul, Beis Medrash, Shomrei Hadas. Another Shabbos. Another one, Machzikei Hadas. He sees butchers, glut kosher meat, kosher lemahadrin, Cholev Yisrael, Pas Yisrael, and he was very happy. Oh, it's just like Europe over here. And then he got home, and he started thinking, and he said to himself, oy vey, I see what a terrible place I've come to. I didn't realize how bad it was, and now I've chapped what Torah with Yiddishkeit. He thought back in Europe, they didn't have shuls called Machzikei Hadas. They keep the law. Shomer Shabbos, this shul keeps Shabbos. This is Shomer Hadas, keeps Halacha, of course. You have to say that. It's Pashat. Obviously, it means there's other shuls which are not Shomer Shabbos. There are shuls which they call it a shul, but they're not. They don't keep the laws. And he understood that they have to stress the people that keep Yiddishkeit. Here is Kosher LeMahadrin. There's other shuls of Glad Kosher, of Cholev Yisrael Pas. He realized these were special situations, but most of the Yidden there, Nebuch, weren't keeping anything. Over here, the Pasuk says, Vayikra Shmoy Enosh, Oz Hucha Likrei B'Shem Hashem. They began to call B'Shem Hashem, says the Sephora. Who began calling B'Shem Hashem? The Tzaddikim started calling out in Klal Yisrael B'Shem Hashem. Why didn't they till now? They didn't need to. They had to start calling out B'Shem Hashem. Why? Because obviously, people were starting to do Avodah Zorah. Doir Enosh began Avodah Zorah. How do you see it in the Pasuk? The fact that the Tzaddikim began calling B'Shem Hashem means there were people doing the opposite. Not like Rashi. Rashi had to kvetch in the Pasuk. Also, Chalikra, they began calling Avodah Zorah B'Shem Hashem. You don't have to learn like that. Pasuk means they called B'Shem Hashem. But the fact they had to do it tells you that was Avodah Zorah at that time. The Yetzer Hara begins in this week's parasha with the Nachash. And the Nachash is very wily, and he's always looking for an opening. And you see here how he finds the slightest crack, and once he sees that crack, he's able to get you. And how did he see the crack? When he starts talking to Chava. He starts telling a tea from the tree, and she says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us we can't. On Priya Eitz Hashem B'Soich Hagon, Omer Lekim, she added a word there. She added a word, pentabusim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you will die. And she doesn't say to the Nachash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, we'll die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, pentabusim. Maybe you'll die. Ah, so you're already changing it a little bit. Maybe you'll die. You have a suffix already if you'll die. He knew then he can get in. You have to be so careful, a little Pesach for the Yetzirah, and right away he gets in there. The Medrash says over here that the Yetzirah is like the smart dogs of Rome. And it says, what does that mean? So it says, the smart dogs of Rome, they would see the bakers just baked. There's a whole cart full of Danishes. Cart full of them, hundreds of Danishes on a cart. And the dog is eyeing these Danishes, he wants one. But the baker is sitting there with a stick. And he knows if he takes one of them, the baker is going to beat him up. So he sits there waiting. The baker's watching him. He sees the baker fall asleep. So he charges into the cart. He goes flying everywhere. Takes one of the dangers, runs off with it to eat it. So you see how smart they are. So what's Pshat in the Medrash? If the baker was asleep, the dog could have just taken one of the Danishes. He didn't have to knock over the whole cart. Where do you see the smartness there? So the Pshat is that what happened is the dog knew that if he takes one of the Danishes And the baker wakes up. The baker's going to say, who took that Danish? The dog did. And when he sees that dog and gets told that dog, he's going to beat the dog. The dog is very smart and he knows that. So what does he do? He knocks over the whole card. Now what happens? The guy wakes up with a start. He feels like he's flying everywhere. Oh, I've lost all my Danishes. He takes a bag. Let me rescue what I can. And he picks up 1, 2, 3. And he got 250. It's 240, 241, 249. Hi, Baruch Hashem. I only lost one. He's so happy he thought he'd lost them all. 249 he got back. He's so happy he doesn't think about the dog and he lost one. He's relieved. That is the smartness of this dog. The Yetzer Hara knows that you go to bed 3 a.m, if he makes you miss Shacharis the next day, what's going to happen is you're going to get into trouble for it. You're going to feel bad about it. So maybe next time you're not going to go to bed 3 a.m. So what does the Yetzer Hara do sometimes? He makes sure you get up. He helps you get up. He's a mechazik you. And then you say, you know, I'm entitled to go to bed 3 a.m. Look at me. I have no problem with it. And then afterwards comes to Seder and you start learning and he helps you with the learning. He's mechazik you. You're learning great. Doesn't bother me at all. Later on in the afternoon, he lets it all take effect. And you become miserable and you treat everybody miserably. And it comes to night, say you can't learn a word. And you say, and you've forgotten then already. You're a great guy. You think you're a wonderful person. You went to Shacharis, you learned in the morning, and you've forgotten about it. But it all worked out because the Yetzer Hara wasn't looking for that. He was helping you with that. He wanted to make sure the next time you go to bed 3:30. He was waiting to destroy you completely. And he wanted at the end of the day, he's going to get something from you. But next time he'll work even more. The Yetzer Hara knows how to get in there. He is like these smart dogs of Rome. He wasn't looking to get the whole thing. He was looking to get one little Danish he was looking to get. And he found a way to get it where you would think he didn't get anything. You would think that you won. But really, in reality, he won. Okay. Have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos, everybody.